Welcome to Under Rocks, a new podcast from WNIJ. I'm Dan Libman, and I'm here with Sue Stevens.
Hey, this is exciting.
Very exciting. It's our inaugural episode of Under Rocks.
Let's talk about what Under Rocks actually is, though. So the concept came when we were throwing around ideas about what's cool, what's interesting,
what's weird. What's going on?
Weird.
What's strange?
In our listening area.
Yeah, like you walk around your own community, you've lived there 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden you notice something. There's a historical marker, or there's a house that nobody's ever lived in, and people say things about it. What's going on by you? What questions do you have about the world, your world that we don't know about?
And then we investigate.
We'd like to know, too. Yeah, share it with the world. So you call us. You let us know. I guess nowadays people don't call. They text it.
Sometimes they text it.
They email. Somehow you manage to communicate to us what's weird, what's going on. What are the unusual anomalies? Is that the phrase we used before?
Yes, yes. Actually, the best way to do it is go to our website. And we have this little box right there on the front page. And
okay.
You can type in your story ideas or things that you want to know more about.
WNIJ.org.
Thank you.
And and then you let us know, and we're going to send a team of voices that you're familiar with out to your neighborhood to investigate. We'd also like to know where the good burgers are, what's the great bar to hang out at, where should we go have a beer once we're done, looking at the investigating. I guess it's an investigation.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, but here's the key. Let's make it fun.
Oh, yeah.
This needs to be fun. We decided that there's a lot of weird stuff going on in our area with snow when it's cold.
Did you put on bread bags on your feet to get them in the boots?
Absolutely. And to keep my feet warm because dry. And also because you go out forever. Like, I'm thinking about when you'd go sledding.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous amounts of time. Like, leaving the break of dawn, coming home at dusk.
Right.
10 below zero.
Right.
But it was fun.
Exactly.
And I bet I thought it might still be fun at my age now. This was when I was a kid. It was great fun.
Do you think it's fun? Have you been sledding recently?
You know it.
I do know it. All right. That's my door closing. Theater of the Mind. Radio Sue Stevens and I are here to check out the sledding hill. But it seems as though we are the only two people who are here checking out the sledding hill. Just two adults in an empty sledding hill who are going to attempt to recreate something. I'm middle-aged. There's at least one of us middle-aged. I don't know.
Make that two.
Okay, there's two middle-aged people. I didn't want to speak for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
There's two middle-aged adults facing an empty sled hill. Does this hill have a name?
The Russell Woods Sledding Hill.
The Russell Woods Sledding Hill.
We might have to check the safety precautions over here. There's a very short list of safety precautions.
There always are. The scolds have their way everywhere. All right, sledding hill safety. Number one, you sled hill at your own risk.
I would say this is not 100% safe. It seems very icy and muddy, but we're doing it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Wait for sledding area to clear before going down. Check.
Totally clear.
Yep. Do not walk up sledding area. Use side railings. Oh. Use caution when sledding. Be considerate of other. I'm going to remove the S.
Okay,
since
thank
there's
you.
Two of us. Parents are responsible for child safety on sledding hill and around warming fire.
What?
Where's the warming fire?
I didn't see the warming fire, so I might file a complaint with the county.
Yeah, ability.
Exactly. Like, I was boning up on sledding safety last night. And
okay.
Helmets are good.
Okay.
If you don't have a special sledding helmet, a bike helmet will do.
Is there a special sledding helmet?
Maybe, apparently, for rich kids.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was don't wear a scarf. So I made sure I wore a turtleneck today because, you know, your head could pop off.
Right, if it gets caught up and you're going very fast. Yeah, that's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
I didn't think about
so
that.
It scared me safe.
Well, we are not wearing scarves.
No.
And I have three sleds, two saucer sleds and snow boogie. Snow boogie, Super G. Snow boogie, Super G. Which Sue has claimed. Ride sitting, reversible, ride prone. You can choose if you're going to sit or prone.
I am not going down head first. That was yet another safety tip I got.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's one strip toward the side that has no mud bogs in it.
Right.
So we're going to shoot for that, I guess.
Okay.
Are you referring to?
Yes. Whoa, don't go without me. Okay, so.
You going to go first?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Are you nervous? How do you feel?
I am nervous. Yeah. When was the last time you went sledding?
Not recently. Not that I can recall.
Not this millennia?
Right.
Huh.
Good luck.
Thank you. Somehow I don't remember it being that hard to just sit on a sled.
Yeah. There's a lot of additional challenges that the kids don't have to go through.
Right.
I think you're stalling now.
I am stalling. Maybe the sun will go down. And maybe it'll be 10 o'clock and we have to leave. Okay, here we go.
Bon voyage. Do you need a push? No. Holy cow, here she goes. Oh. Oh, mud puddle. Oh! All right. You skirted through the mud puddle. Was it fun?
It was pretty fun.
Do you feel changed though?
A little bit. I feel like I can maybe do anything now.
Okay. Oh boy.
Fun? All right, Dan, that was pretty exciting. I have to say that was the first time I'd been sledding in millennia?
Same.
Millennia?
Yeah, maybe 30 years for me. I felt like I was there just listening to it.
I know. So yeah. Exciting.
I felt like I had actually experienced it. I did think that I thought it was amusing that I think the kids probably pay less attention to the rules than you and I did.
Yeah.
As middle-aged people.
Yes, but we did follow those rules and we survived.
And had fun.
Yes, for our one trip down.
One trip down,
we just
got
in our cars and drove away fast. I actually talked with someone who used to go there as a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Joe Mitchell.
You grew up in DeKalb?
Yes, I was born in Buffalo, New York, and moved to DeKalb when I was 5. So we moved here in 1980, and my parents are still in the same house I grew up in.
You also spent your childhood sledding around
Absolutely.
Here. Tell me where.
Absolutely. So I grew up about 2 blocks behind Jewel, which is about 3 blocks away from Hopkins Park. And so every winter, we spent our free time when we had snow sledding in the back of Hopkins Park, which was known at the time as Dead Man's Hill. And this is before they have torn it down and rebuilt it. This is going back to the early and mid 80s. And all my friends from the neighborhood, that's where we went. That's where we sledded at. And we always had a competition anytime we went sledding because at the very, very end of the hill was the Kishwaukee River. And so we challenged every time we went sledding there, who could get closest to the river without going in? And, you know, you would get cool points for the day. And needless to say, there was not a winter that went by that I did not go into the Kishwaukee River trying to be the best sledding ever and misjudged it and went right into the Kishwaukee River.
And you said you used to go out to Russell Woods, too.
Yeah.
Field trips?
Absolutely. So went to elementary school, went to Little John. Yay, Little John. It was customary. I don't know what it is now. Every elementary school went to Russell Woods as part of field trip, you know, typically every year in elementary school. And so, yes, they have a very nice sledding hill there, but obviously because it was a field trip, we weren't allowed to bring our sleds. So what they did bring was garbage bags. And for those who did want to attempt to sled if there was snow out there on our field trip, they gave you a garbage bag and say, yeah, go have at it.
I feel like such a whiny baby because yesterday I was like, I can't find a sled anywhere. No, I couldn't find one in stores. And so I just went, well, I won't go. Maybe I'll come back with some cardboard.
There you go.
But now I know the garbage bag trick. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Okay. Okay, Dan, the part that I'm excited about is he talked a little about Hopkins Park. And in a little bit, we're going to take a little trip out there. Another thing we're going to get to today is we talk about like the things people like to do in the snow here in northern Illinois. Fat tire biking.
Yes.
What the heck? Because, you know, in my day, you know, the first snowflakes start falling, you go
hang up your bike in the garage, say goodbye.
Oh, that was so sad. On a hook, upside down.
Yes.
Where it would sleep, your bicycle would sleep the winter away like a bat. Just in your garage, just waiting. Pick me up again. Inflate my tires. Lube my chain.
And that's not the way it is anymore.
No.
No?
Kids today, they're riding their bikes year-round, from January 1st to January 1st. Fat tire biking is what it sounds like. It's a hardy bicycle, although they do make them with carbon too, but most people have sort of aluminum or steel bicycles that can take a pounding a little bit.
Okay.
You know, you can go over gravel with them, and you can go over ice and snow, and you get a big fat, like almost like a motorcycle tire with studs in it, and people can buy them with metal studs that'll really grip the ice, but at some point you're going to end up slipping on the ice anyway, and you just ride your bike in the winter.
Wow. I've tried to ride foolishly in the snow at Rock Cut State Park. It was many years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a major failure, I have to say, on my part. And part of it is the trails. There's modern technology for this.
It is not. I wouldn't call it modern tech. When you go to an ice skating rink and you see the Zamboni go out there, you feel like, oh, there's the hand of somebody who knows what they're doing out here. And I don't want to say that Steve Forbes doesn't know what he's doing, but he's kind of inventing this as he goes along. He has developed a machine. It's part like four-wheel drive. It's part it's hard to describe. Part lawnmower. It's got weights on it, and he grooms the trails at Atwood Park, and does a fantastic job. And he's kind of, sort of had to figure it out as he goes along, because there's not a big well of knowledge on this since it's only 4 or 5 years old. And he grooms those trails, and one day, I got to watch him do it.
How cool! And Steve Forbes works with the
Rockford Park District. Yeah.
All right.
And so, tell me what grooming is exactly. What
grooming just means to just sort of pressurize that's a good question. Just basically beat down the snow and make it so it's a more rollable surface. Okay. Yeah, being that it's so wet, the hope is that it'll adhere to the ice that's on the ground right now, because the trails are pretty much a sheet of ice all the way through, which is pretty dangerous unless you have really, really good studded tires. So,
which I assume most people don't have.
That's right. Yeah, they are expensive.
Yeah.
It's really, trail grooming, I don't think anybody has it figured out.
Yeah.
It's kind of
Did you take a course, or is it just...
No, it's all just kind of trial and error, for sure.
This is the lovely, lovely maintenance shop.
Okay. All kinds of equipment in here.
Yeah.
So it's just like a big wheel with like ridges in it,
right?
Kind of like
it's a big roller that you can put weights on, and it really does. And then there's a plate in the back that you actually you can put weights in that too, and that further condenses the snow down.
So you use you've got like a four wheeler with what kind of these aren't wheels, but what do you call it, like
tracks,
tank tracks?
Yeah,
it kind of looks like
it does
pretty fearsome. And you can use that on, you were saying, on the wider sections?
Right. On the wider stuff that's kind of, that's all the brush has been taken out.
Okay.
We just have, these trails up here, it would work to an extent, but there's just a few choke points that that narrow down between the trees.
There's that part where it goes down, up and down real quick. And, okay.
Right.
So really the exciting parts, you can't
exactly,
you can't do
one. Exactly.
Okay.
We're looking at possibly putting a fundraising effort together for next season.
Okay.
For what's called a trail dog, snow dog. Sorry.
Okay.
And that's just basically, if you can picture a snowmobile track that's sitting in front of you, and then you're steering it. You have handlebars on it, and you're steering it. Just sort of like kind of like a self-propelled lawnmower.
Right.
You know. So that's what we're looking at to get these trails taken care of, instead of doing it the manual way with the snowshoes and the dragging the tire, because that really is not very effective.
Wait a minute. When he says snowshoes and dragging a tire, I'm picturing he's wearing snowshoes and he's dragging a tire.
Dragging a tire, yeah.
Oh,
exactly as it sounds. That's what he's talking about.
Manually. Okay.
Right. And and you can imagine how labor intensive. I don't know exactly how long the trails are, but they're several miles at least. And it's got to be crazy. And it's climbing. It's not flat. And
this sounds like triathlete training.
Right. He's a man in good shape. So Steve is hooking up this fearsome roller to the four-wheeler, which has no wheels. It just has treads. This then is a much easier trail to bike on.
I had no idea that there was so much work involved.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm one of those people who just shows up with his fat bike and, you know, just walks around and never even think about it. So it was interesting to watch him do that for sure. You know what, Sue?
What?
It is not all just fat tire biking. Remember old school sledding? Remember when you and I went down sledding down that hill in Fuller Park? What is it called?
Russell Woods.
In Russell Woods?
I do remember. That was a good time.
It was a good time. And I think you asked listeners to let you know where some great places to sled in the area.
Exactly. And we got a few answers.
Yeah, this is interesting to me. So people are recommending Fabian Forest Preserve in Geneva.
Oh, cool.
Have you been there?
No.
Byron Forest Preserve? I have been there.
Okay, I've been to some places in the Byron Forest Preserve, so.
I've never seen a sledding hill, but it is up on a hill, so I bet there is good sledding.
Probably great.
Twin Sisters Hill in Rockford. I bet you've been there.
That is the one I was trying to figure out. I had vague memories of doing this like 20 years ago, but I had no memory of where that was. And the more I tried to describe it, the less it sounded likely.
North of East High School. Is that where you fell out, went down the back of the...
No, okay. That one's been closed. Someone recommended that one on our list, but then pointed out that the Aldine Park Dam, you can't sled there anymore. And that was the hot spot of Rockford.
And so it was so dangerous that they've actually closed it, but you have slid down the backside of it, not even the safe part of it.
Yeah.
The dangerous part of the dangerous hill.
I went down the backside because I was trying to impress tweens, because you know how cool that is to impress tweens.
And they're easily impressed these days. And this is, you did this when you were like 21, when you were just a wee lass?
Probably pushing 40 at that point.
You were pushing 40 when you went down the wrong side of an already dangerous sledding hill.
To impress tweens. Strangers who were tweens.
Uh-huh.
No good reason.
Do you think they're still talking about it?
Yes. Any more on our list?
Well, we got Russell Woods in Genoa, which I've been to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you've ever been there. And somebody also recommended Hopkins Park, which we've already heard Joe Mitchell talk about. So,
in fact, let's go sledding at Hopkins Park.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. That's not me.
I think it's all about experience. If they feel okay to go by themselves and they're big enough and... yeah, see? It's a couple bumps that might make it a little dangerous, but, you know, as long as they got their snow pants on and their gloves and they're bundled up, it'll be a little cushion. My name's Elise Lewis. It's just something we always do on the weekends. You know, it's free. It's a good steam burner, energy burner, you know.
Can I get your name?
Maggie Plapp.
Okay, and what brings you out here?
Same as she said, we come out here like every weekend. It's free, it's fun. They love it. They love playing in the snow, so instead of sitting in the house, we come out here to play.
Everyone's pretty tired by the time it's over, does that help?
Yes, they go home and they take naps. She's usually asleep by the car ride.
Nice.
Before we get home.
Well, this is a new hill. I mean, what do you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
We actually were gonna drive to Russell's Woods and then we saw this, so we came here. And that's good, great idea. So sledding at Hopkins Park, super fun, all thumbs up, highly recommend it if anyone still has a chance to get out there with some snow.
This season, but you know, the thing about winter is there's going to be another one.
So this is the place where Joe Mitchell used to, you know, fly into the river.
Into the river.
Now they've built like a mountain there, and it's really kind of amazing
it's
how
huge
it came about. So to get the story of this, it's kind of, it's like a victory of municipal government. And I know tons of people are tuning out when I say something like municipal government, but bear with me.
You're still impressing those tweens.
I am. And I've even gone for a younger demographic.
Yeah.
The kids who like poo jokes. So I headed over to the Kishwaukee Water Reclamation District to find out and talked with this guy.
Mike Holland, I'm the district engineer and assistant district manager here at the Kishwaukee Water Reclamation District.
What does that mean you do on a day-to-day?
Oh, it means that really I get in everyone's business and try to disrupt as much as I can around here. Yeah, we've been talking about it for probably the sledding hill for closer to 3 years. We just didn't have the dirt until very recently. And it really started with, we'd started on design for our project here and knew that there was going to be a lot of earthwork that we were going to be doing. And
this project being building the new rec.
Yeah, building our new, tankage and facilities here at the treatment plant. We approached the park district and said, "Hey, we think we remember hearing you guys talking about interest of having a sled hill at some point. We own this property right next to you guys. What would you think about building a sled hill with all this dirt that we're gonna have for these giant holes that are gonna be in the ground?" And then we could just, lease the property or sell that property to you guys, and then, it'd be an extension of Hopkins Park, and we'd have a great sled hill. But economically for us, it was a home run, because that's, 80,000 cubic yards of dirt that didn't have to get trucked off our site and driven through town out to, wherever they needed to be filled. It probably saved us close to $1 million in just the construction side of it.
Have you been down it on a sled?
I haven't.
What?
I haven't had, I know. I have. I was out for the grand opening. Mm-hmm. I did get to roll a pumpkin down it.
Because that was in November.
We didn't have the snow. We didn't have the snow for it. But I have not had a chance to go sledding down it, unfortunately.
Okay, now I have to ask a question from my boss's kid, who was like, "Is it made of poo?"
No, there was no poo used in the building of the sled hill. So, although we, our process does produce a very, similar to topsoil-like material that we call biosolids, that is actually used for agricultural land. So we didn't. We didn't use any of our biosolids for building the sled hole. It's just good old fashioned clay from the ground.
Okay, I will advise him to call them biosolids from now on then.
There
too.
We go.
I was really thrilled to be able to clear that up.
Biosolids. Yeah.
Yeah. So sledding. That's what I think of as my winter sport.
Classic.
I actually know someone who enjoys winter camping.
Winter camping?
Winter camping is his sport of choice.
Yeah. So it's a sport.
I would call it that.
Is it a gentleman or a lady?
This is a gentleman.
A gentleman who enjoys camping, mm-hmm. but not when it's pleasant out.
Correct.
Interesting.
Jim Klein.
I was about 16 or 17, and we camped overnight in the middle of winter in a tent.
Ooh.
Where the water froze in my canteen, and I learned later to keep that inside my sleeping bag. We did make it through, and my mother told me at the time, if you were forced to do this, you would complain, and of course I would have complained. But camping can be a four-season sport if you are prepared.
What's your favorite winter camping spot? Are there such things?
Oh, I don't know if I have a favorite. When I first started out with my friend, we were out on his farm. But I have gone out to area forest preserves, places like that, because they're close. If there would be a problem, you're not that far from coming back home.
That is a good point. Wow. And I thought I was pretty cool for staying over in a cabin where we had to keep a fire going and, outside toilet you used as minimally as possible because...
Well, at least you didn't have an RV and claim it was camping.
Okay, got me there. Thank you. So winter camping, you think you'd do it, Dan?
I don't know. You know, I think I'd like to give it a try. You know, when you're in your tent, you're all cozied up and stuff like that. Yeah. I could see the appeal of it.
Yeah. So Jim Klein's sport of choice in the winter, camping. Your sport of choice. We promised we'd come back to this.
Thank you.
Am I getting that right? Is it fat tire biking? Winter biking? What is the name?
Yeah, I don't know that it has an official name. It's so new. I mean, probably like the X Games people will come along and give it like a, you know, turbo cycling or something like that. But right now, you know, fat tire riding, fat tire biking. But I don't know. You call it anything you want to call it, as long as you're out there doing it.
So riding in the snow. And you are apparently not the only one. Like hundreds of people do this, and I've seen evidence now.
Correct. And to be fair, they come. There's more of it when the weather is quite pleasant, which it's been this season. Last season was horrible. There was fewer of us out there. And every February there's a ride that is organized by the Freeport Bicycle Company, and it starts in Pecatonica at the VFW, and it usually loops around. It's called the Frostbite 40. I should say what it's
that's
called.
A great name.
If you're looking for it, it's the Frostbite 40. This year there was a Frostbite 50 option.
Whoa!
And a Frostbite 30 option.
Which one did you take?
I took Frostbite 50.
What?
But during the Frostbite 40 to 50, during the last 10 miles, I questioned that decision of mine. As I was by myself, I came in last place, basically. I think there might have been a few people after me, but I was by myself out there wondering if I had made the right decision. In any event, there were cookies, I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's always a lot of snacks and treats, and there were some left over for me, even though I came in last place.
Because you decided to go more miles. This isn't like a competition, though. Is it like you've got like the number one racer coming through and then...
Well, there are people who...
Is it a race?
It's not a race. No, it's not a competition at all. Okay. It's just a ride. But there are people who are actual professional racers who come and train. They call it training. I think if you're a racer, you can't just say you're going to ride your bike to have fun. You have to just say, I'm training.
Sorry about that. I wasn't even out. Okay, so one more time. Tell me why you like to come out here.
Because I love the people who show up here. I have all the friends from all over Chicagoland and, you know, like Wisconsin and other places. Then I just, you know, love hanging out with all the friends. And this is just such a fun event.
And so some rides are, there's more of an emphasis on winning and competition.
Right.
But
this
one
more
is
for,
friendly.
Yeah, a lot friendly and so relaxed. And it's about like hanging out and enjoying.
Cool.
So.
Okay. Do you think the conditions are going to be good for a good ride today?
I think so. Yeah. It's going to be a great training day.
So that was Kai Takashita, and she was talking there about what a friendly ride it is, and it really is true. For me, you know, it's only the first 3 or 4 miles where I'm riding with people before I get left behind, but I'm talking to people all the time, and it makes it a really fun event, especially, I think this was the 5th year or possibly the 4th year, and so people have stories from previous years, and you see the same faces over again.
Super, super cold, super, super windy the previous year.
Yeah, it was so windy, and you can look it up. There was world record, I'm exaggerating, but there was like 50 mile an hour gusts of wind. And so they changed the route. Usually it's over gravel and ice, but it was too dangerous to ride on the gravel. So we were on pavement, and we rode from Pecatonica to Freeport. It took me, I believe, 3.5 hours to get to Freeport, and it took me 50 minutes to get back to Pecatonica with the wind at my back.
Whoa.
And that was an experience I will never forget.
Wow.
You know, you don't remember the good rides. You remember the difficult rides, and that was a difficult one. But that was last year. This year it was much nicer. The sun was out. And I did talk to Stu Gerwick a little bit about how he came up with the idea for the ride and organizing.
People's schedules are clear. Like, nobody really has, like, weddings and baseball games and stuff like that. So the schedule's kind of clear for that. But we do a lot of riding in the winter, and it's really great. Like, not having to put on sunscreen.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to worry about gnats and bugs and stuff like at our other events. And so it really is a good time, but I don't think people realize that it's really easy to do if you just you have the right clothing, and even then, like, you know,
what is the right clothing, do you think?
Layers. Especially today, it's going to be very cold at the beginning, but it's going to come out maybe be 50 degrees.
Okay.
So layers. And really, you don't have to spend a lot of money on this. I mean, you can get all this stuff like at the Goodwill store. You can just buy sweaters and
I'm wearing farm boots.
You got it, man. You can wear anything. So, some of it's just kind of introducing people to riding in adverse conditions.
Uh-huh.
Riding at a time of year where most people aren't even thinking about it yet. So.
Okay.
you know.
Can I ask you a question about, like, gravel riding? Like, when I started bike riding, nobody had talked about gravel riding, but now it seems to be a really big thing. What is the appeal of gravel riding?
So there's a few things. One is, you know, it's safer. There's not nearly as many cars out on the gravel road. Okay. So I think that's one of the main reasons. But I also think that gravel's kind of a unifier in that people of all different genres of cycling are coming out today. So you're going to see people with tires that are 5 inches wide. You're going to see people with tires that are 32 millimeters mm-hmm. wide. So it kind of brings a whole bunch of people together on different types of bikes. It's, you know, there's the whole run of bikes here today, and everybody seems to get along. Like, everybody, it really unifies a lot of diverse people and ages. We got my son's riding today. He's 14. We also have a rider that's 70 years old today. So not just in types of bikes, but I think the age of riders, I think there's an appeal to, you know, like, it's very acceptable to all genres of cycling.
Is there a specific way that's better than any other way, or no? It's just your style, or
what's that now?
In terms of, like, your bike, like, is a fatter wheel tire better in the winter, let's say, or for this kind of conditions?
Well, again, that's also a good thing about gravel, is that the terrain is always varying. So, you know, a fat tire bike today with 5-inch tires on some roads is probably going to be the way to go. That's going to be a great bike. Mm-hmm. And then other times on some of these paved connector sections, these guys with the skinny tires, that's going to be, they're going to shine. Yeah. So there's really no correct bike for, you know, everybody's going to shine at some point in time today on that bike, you know. Okay. So everybody has the right bike at some point in time. So yeah, there's no correct way, and that's probably the million-dollar question: is what tire should I run? What bike should I bring? You know, like.
That's what I saw.
Rider on.
So you went 50 miles and had some lonely time.
Yes, quite a bit of lonely time.
It was pretty exciting at the beginning, all these people packed together and, you know, racing, and then suddenly you're by yourself. Well, not
correct.
Suddenly.
Well, you know, I came in basically DFL, which is sort of, it basically means dead last. It's kind of a bicycling term. And I don't mind that. I actually enjoy being, you know, alone with my thoughts. And so it was a beautiful day. It was, we were riding on these roads with these farms and these fields, and it was, the snow was up, and it was quite nice, and you're just by yourself. Occasionally, there was some support people, the sag wagons, they call it. And occasionally, they were right behind me making sure I was okay, but then I would signal them, and they would go, and they'd move on and, like, wait for me to come a little bit further on just to make sure I was still okay. That's one of the benefits of being last. You have your own ambulance crew behind you.
Having done one major, like, organized bike ride in my life in Wisconsin, which was really fun, really cool.
Which one was it?
I don't know. I have the socks still from it, but I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, it was. I think the thing that really motivated me and pushed me along is I knew there was, like, a beer fest at the end of the road. I'm thinking you didn't just, like, end up at your car. There had to be something
correct
at the end of the ride. What was it?
For sure, yeah. There's a party at the VFW. People, there's beer. There's some pretty good cookies. There's some food there, and there's a whole lot of socializing. In fact, I got to talk to Stu Gerwick again and ask him what he thought about the ride once it was in the, excuse the mixed metaphor, the rear view mirror.
I'm pleasantly surprised by the turnout. I bet we had 250 people here today.
Okay.
Obviously, the weather helps. We raised a lot of money for our charity.
What was the charity?
Freeport Area Church Cooperative. So they're right up the street from the bike shop, and they are a food pantry and a homeless shelter. Yeah.
Were you helping buying bikes for Freeport Cop?
Yeah, right. So that was our charity 2 years ago.
Okay.
We raised enough money to buy 2 bicycles for the Freeport Police Department. We've worked on some of their old equipment, and it was horrendous. Yeah, so, like, that was a pretty... Yeah, you know, that was like a selfish charity. Like, now we don't have to work on those pieces of junk. Let's just buy them some new equipment. You know,
okay.
Yeah. So, but it worked out. They're happy too. So we all win.
Was safety an issue today at all?
It's always a concern. You know, I mean, putting on this kind of stuff. I mean, that's my biggest worry. I mean, that's. It's always a concern. You're on the open roads. I mean, you know, drivers are nuts. Like, it's always a concern. But for the most part, I think people who are going to come out in the winter and ride a bike, they're pretty, pretty responsible people. I mean, we're all adults here. We all have been riding bikes for a while. I think everybody's smart enough to obey the law.
This seems like not a ride that, like, if you were going to try out bike riding, this would not be the ride you chose to start with.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody's going to willy-nilly a ride, like, in February. Right. You know, like, they're pretty seasoned folks.
You think you're going to do it again next year?
I think so.
That
sure.
sounded
yeah.
really fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe I start training now. I'll be ready next year. What about if people want to go do this in February?
Well, I think that they should go to the Freeport Bicycle Company website. It's Freeport. If you put freeportbikes.com or Freeport, I don't know, just Google it. You'll find it.
Yeah.
And it's called Frostbite 40, so you can probably find it on Facebook, and it's on Instagram and all sorts of social. They're pretty good with the social media, so it's out there. Just remember Frostbite 40, Freeport Bicycle Company.
All right, Dan, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Frostbite 40, when did you shine?
When did I shine on the
when
Frostbite
40?
I'm going to have to say I shined during the raffle.
200. Yeah! Woo! All right.
That was so exciting.
Oh. Yes.
It's got,
you wished and you came true. They called your number. And
right.
What'd you get?
Well, I bought, again, mixed metaphor. I got this Share the Road Freeport Bicycle Company license plate holder, which I'm going to put on my car. It's a very supporting community, which I don't know if you could tell, but I actually had missed the raffle because I had come in so slow. And so they just found a box of free stuff that they were giving away anyway and pretended like I won. It was all right, but it made me feel good because
it
was special for me.
Buddy shines. Sometime.
Yes.
Yeah. So
says the
great.
Guru.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Dan, that's it. Thank you so much for being here. And
thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah. And it's actually not even my show. This is everybody's show.
It's the community's show.
Yeah. This is Under Rocks from WNIJ. And it's something that we're going to come back and keep doing with your help.
Yeah. Again, just to remind you, we want to know what's going on out by you. What's weird?
What's weird by you?
Weird. If it's weird,
we
let us
hear
know.
About it. And you can do that by going to WNIJ.org, and there's a little form you can fill out right there. Send it in, and we'll come check out
I'm
your
doing
weirdness.
It right now.
So what's coming up in the next Under Rocks?
Well, there's a lot of exciting things coming up for the Under Rocks listener. But next time, let me just say this. WNIJ's own Jason Kregear. Do you know him?
Yeah.
He is going to get a close shave. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm.
But there's that's just the tip of the iceberg to keep mixing metaphors. No, that's not mixed because this is a winter show.
It's right.
Yeah.
That is very right. So thank you for keeping the metaphor straight.
My pleasure.
And as we explored cool things in Northern Illinois.
This was fun, Sue.
This was fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. All right.
Oh, and before we go, we got to give a big special thanks to Spencer Tritt for his work on the show this time.
Absolutely.
He went out, and he did not ride, but he was out there in the cold.
We made him wake up early
on
to show
Sunday.
Up on a Sunday, drive, squat down, wait till you see this camera angle, and get amazing footage.
Yeah, and it is amazing footage.
He's
good
a hero.
Stuff. He is. Thank you, Spencer.
He's an under rock star. I just made that up.
All right, see you next time.